Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in 1 Samuel now, chapter 28, and there are 25 verses in this chapter. And then we're doing the first in a series of messages on dealing with yourself. Right now, let's ask the Lord to bless this tape. We have a couple of letters as well. All right, let's, Father, bless the tape. Open the ears, the eyes, enlighten our eyes, Lord, with your word, to give us more and more of you, because we're living in these last days. And even if it weren't the last days, which it is, Lord, we'd always want more of you, no matter what era of time that we're living in. Because we want to face you at the mercy seat of Christ with boldness, knowing that we're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven without any shadow of doubt. And Lord, we want to be able to have enough of you in us so that we can be great and mighty soul winners, that you can win souls in and through us here on this earth to bring about your kingdom right here on earth as it is in heaven. Anoint every word, the reading of your word, the translation, and the commentaries, and the message on dealing with self, and the letters. Open our spirits to receive them, our minds, our heart, our soul, our spirits. Because what it is we're receiving you. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go. Get the letters first. Where's the first one from?
From Antrim, North Ireland. It says, Dear Pastor Lommel, I have just read your publication of mass suicide given to me by a lovely Christian man in Edinburgh. I am a Christian nearly 3 years now. I found the reading in this was very interesting, and I have read many tracts people have printed to try to bring people to salvation, but I've never read anything that compares to this. God has really worked through you. I believe this will most definitely save thousands of souls all over the world. Could you send me some copies, as I would have great pleasure giving them out to people? I pray God will continue to bless you and work through you as he is doing. May God bless you healthy and strong and in his care forever. God bless you, A.C. from Antrim, North Ireland.
Right, make sure that he gets a Messiah book, and everyone that writes letters in, whether they ask for a Messiah book or not, they have to get one. Okay, and then I don't know how many people in Ireland there are that don't speak English. I'd sure like to find out, because if there are a lot of them, then we have to have this literature translated into Gaelic, they call it. Okay, that's the language the Irish speak. Okay, then where is the next letter from, please?
From Zazera, Ghana, Africa.
Okay, go ahead.
Dear Pastor, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Yeah, and believing in him means that you're believing in the entire word, because Jesus is the word of God. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ means to believing in him is to believe in all the word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God. That is the actual Christ. Okay, then what?
Whoever loves him should keep his law. We believe we are the salt of the world. A house built on the mountain can be seen by many. We must shine to those who are in darkness. Our God is not a respecter of persons. His nature is love. We are called to lead others to Christ. Please, Pastor, I got your address from one of your newsletters you sent here in my town. I prayed before I started to study it. My desires were totally fulfilled. The only way is to be honest with the gospel, repent before Christ, and obey the leading of the Spirit. Pastor, the Lord is so wonderful. I was a Muslim, but due to the studying of your newsletter, I am now a Christian. I believe now I am a new creature, as I have left this false doctrine. I would rather be poor, miss my good friend, but gain everlasting life. I came out with some few believers. I am looking for a faithful fellowship to support us spiritually. Jesus is my personal Savior. His precious blood has cleansed all my sins. Please, please, Pastor, can you send me some materials to reach more lost souls? I anticipate hearing from you, Pastor. God bless. Sincerely yours, A.J. from Cesarea, Ghana, Africa.
Right, and so make sure that he gets the Messiah book, and you know, all of them that are saying that they like, are desirous of getting the literature and the message to other people, get them at least two or three Messiah books so that they have plenty of literature. All right, and so now it's time that we dig into 1 Samuel chapter 28 with its 25 verses, the translation, and also the commentary. Let's start.
Saul consults a medium, King James Version, verse 1.
Now, this is absolutely forbidden by the Lord to go to fortune tellers, mediums, soothsayers, people that use enchantments. It's absolutely wrong, because a lot of people go to fortune tellers because they want to know what the future is. But if we read the Bible and we just seek the Lord, we know what the future is. Amen?
Amen.
That we're going to get into that we're going to be in heaven forevermore. And we also know that if we go to these soothsayers and fortune tellers and people that tell the futures, that we know what the future is too, that you're going to hell in the lake of fire. It's absolutely forbidden. And today you see so many children's games and Ouija boards and things like that, and this is absolutely deplorable in the eyes of God. It's an abomination to him. And you see all these different motion pictures advertised, and you see signs about fortune telling, and people advertise on television that they'll tell you the future, and they tell you about what your love life is going to be and everything. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything will be added unto you. Amen?
Amen.
So that tells the future right there. Amen?
Amen.
You don't need to go to any gypsy or anybody else like one. Okay? Go ahead.
And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. Verse 2. And David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. Verse 3. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him, and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. Verse 4. And the Philistines gathered themselves together, and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. Verse 5. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. Verse 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets.
Right. And the reason that sometimes the Lord doesn't answer you, because the answer is in the Word of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and you're going to be fine in battle. Amen?
Amen.
He'll chase your enemies away from you. And so God is not... If you say, oh God, will you bless me if I do right? That is a prayer of an abomination to the Lord. Because his word says that he will, okay? That's a doubting prayer. Of course he will. Or, Lord, will you please heal me? He says you already are healed. Amen?
Amen.
By my stripes you were healed. And so those are prayers that are abominations unto the Lord. Oh Lord, will you bless my family? Such a prayer is an abomination to the Lord, because if you are doing everything that he says, if you're walking in the Spirit, the Word of God tells you that your family will be blessed. Amen?
Amen.
So don't pray prayers that the Bible already tells you, if you're keeping his commandments, that you'll be blessed. If you're not keeping his commandments, and if you're doubting, you will be not only not blessed, but you will be damned, the Bible says. Preach this gospel to the entire world, and those that believe shall be saved, and those that doubt shall be damned. Amen?
Amen.
So, we don't have to ask God questions that he's already answered in his word. Amen? Okay, let's go.
Verse 7. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit.
See, because God is not answering me. It's already in the word. Amen?
Amen.
Did we not read those things in the book of Deuteronomy?
Yes.
Okay, so what does he want to go ask the Lord? What's going to happen to him? Because he knows he's cursed. Well, then he should know that he's going to get killed then. Amen?
Amen.
And especially even more so when he goes to a soothsayer, a fortune teller. Okay, then what?
Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor.
Okay.
Verse 8, and Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. Verse 9, and the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits.
He's killed those that that are fortune tellers. Okay, then what?
And the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? Verse 10. And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Translation, verse 1 through 10. Saul consults a medium. About that time, the Philistines mustered their armies for another war with Israel. King Achish told David, quote, you and your men will be expected to join me in battle, unquote. Verse 2, quote, very well, David agreed. Now you will see for yourself what we can do, unquote. Then Achish told David, quote, I will make you my personal bodyguard for life, unquote. Verse 3. Meanwhile, Samuel had died, and all Israel had mourned for him. He was buried in Ramah, his hometown. And Saul had banned all mediums and psychics from the land of Israel. Verse 4. The Philistines set up their camp at Shunem, and Saul and the armies of Israel camped at Gilboa. Verse 5. When Saul saw the vast Philistine army, he became frantic with fear. Verse 6. He asked the Lord what he should do, but the Lord refused to answer him, either by dreams or by sacred lots or by the prophets. Verse 7. Saul then said to his advisers, quote, find a woman who is a medium, so I can go and ask her what to do, unquote. His advisers replied, quote, there is a medium at Endor, unquote. Verse 8. So Saul disguised himself by wearing ordinary clothing instead of his royal robes. Then he went to the woman's home at night, accompanied by two of his men. Quote, I'll have to talk to a man who has died, he said. Will you call up his servant, his spirit, for me? Unquote. Verse 9, quote, are you trying to get me killed? The woman demanded. You know that Saul has expelled all the mediums and psychics from the land. Why are you setting a trap for me? Unquote. Verse 10, but Saul took an oath in the name of the Lord and promised, quote, as surely as the Lord lives, nothing bad will happen to you for doing this, unquote. King James Version, verse 11. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. Verse 12. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. Verse 13. And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. Verse 14. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. Verse 15. And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Translation, verse 11 through 15. Finally the woman said, quote, Well, whose spirit do you want me to call up? Unquote. Quote, Call up Samuel, Saul replied. Verse 12. When the woman saw Samuel, she screamed, quote, You've deceived me, exclamation mark. You are Saul, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 13. Quote, Don't be afraid, the king told her. What do you see? Unquote. Quote, I see a god coming up out of the earth, she said. Verse 14. Quote, What does he look like? Saul asked. Quote, He is an old man wrapped in a robe, she replied. Saul realized that it was Samuel, and he fell to the ground before him. Verse 15. Quote, Why have you disturbed me by calling me back? Samuel asked. Quote, Because I am in deep trouble, Saul replied. The Philistines are at war with us, and God has left me and won't reply by prophets or dreams. So I have called for you to tell me what to do. Unquote. Verse 16, King James Version. Then said Samuel, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee, and is become thine enemy? Verse 17, And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Verse 18. Because thou obeyedst not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Verse 19. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Verse 20. Then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth, and was sore afraid, because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day, nor all the night. Verse 21. And the woman came unto Saul, and saw that he was sore troubled, and said unto him, Behold, thine handmaid hath obeyed thy voice, and I have put my life in my hand, and have hearkened unto thy words which thou spakest unto me. Verse 22. Now therefore I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thy handmaid, and let me set a morsel of bread before thee, and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way. Verse 23. But he refused and said, I will not eat. But his servants, together with the woman, compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice. So he arose from the earth and sat upon the bed. Verse 24. And the woman had a fat calf in the house, and she hasted and killed it, and took flour and kneaded it, and did bake unleavened bread thereof. Verse 25. And she brought it before Saul and before his servants, and they did eat. Then they rose up and went away that night. Translation, verse 16 through 25. But Samuel replied, quote, "Why ask me if the Lord has left you and has become your enemy?" Verse 17, "The Lord has done just as he said he would. He has taken the kingdom from you and given it to your rival David." Verse 18, "The Lord has done this because you did not obey his instructions concerning the Amalekites." Verse 19, "What's more, the Lord will hand you and the army of Israel over to the Philistines tomorrow, and you and your sons will be here with me. The Lord will bring the entire army of Israel down in defeat." Unquote. Verse 20, "Saul fell full length on the ground, paralyzed with fright because of Samuel's words. He was also faint with hunger, for he had eaten nothing all day and all night." Verse 21, "When the woman saw how distraught he was, she said, quote, Sir, I obeyed your command at the risk of my life. Verse 22, Now do what I say, and let me give you something to eat, so you can regain your strength for the trip back. Unquote. Verse 23, But Saul refused. The men who were with him also urged him to eat, so he finally yielded and got up from the ground and sat on the couch. Verse 24, The woman had been fattening a calf, so she hurried out and killed it. She kneaded dough and baked unleavened bread. Verse 25, She brought the meal to Saul and his men, and they ate it. Then they went out into the night.
All right, that was the 25th verse of chapter 28, 1 Samuel. And now we've got some commentary.
28, verse 2. David's answer to Achish is ambiguous, not promising him anything, but leading Achish to think he had. 28, verse 3. The entire scene is now seen from Israel's and Saul's perspective. The mediums and the spiritualists are those who deal with spirits of the dead or ancestral spirits and those who contact the spirits. To resort to these is consistently prohibited by the law of God. 28 verse 4. Gilboa refers to the hills running southeast of the south side of the Jezreel Valley. Shunem is nearly 60 miles north of the Philistine city of Ekron, E-K-R-O-N. This illustrates how far the Philistines have advanced into Israel's territory, threatening to divide the country in half. 28 verse 6. When Saul killed the priests from Nob, chapter 22, he did away with any means by which he could receive guidance from the Lord God. 28 verse 7. Endor was about 6 miles north of Saul's position at Gilboa. 28 verse 10. The degree to which we can deceive ourselves and rationalize our sins is incredible. Saul swears to an outlaw, necromancer, by the Lord! 28 verse 11 through 19.
A necromancer is one that deals with the spirits of the dead. Then what else?
Before they can do anything, Samuel appears. Not a dead ghost conjured up, but a prophet of God, again delivering God's message to the king. It is clear that the medium has not called him up, but that the Lord has again stepped into the life of Saul to speak to him.
Right. That's why the medium, the fortune teller, screamed out she'd never seen such a thing as that before. Most of them are out and out phonies. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Then what else? She's frightened her to death that the spirit came up right before. Then what?
The woman was terrified and cried out, literally, quote, screamed in terror, unquote, shocked at Samuel's appearance, far from giving credence to any kind of spiritualistic activity or contacting the dead. This passage shows that God is supreme. The medium is left terrified, and Saul is paralyzed in fear, as both of them are rejected by the living God. 28, verse 1 through 2. Compromising our convictions often leaves us with hard choices. David had left Israel to hide among the Philistines and was now reaping the consequences. He was asked to join the Philistines in a battle against his own people. David had to deal with a difficult decision that God probably never intended him to face. When we make decisions apart from God and His Word, we may end up in unfortunate situations. We need to keep God as the center of our lives and the center of all of our decisions, and be careful to consider the likely consequences of our actions before we make a decision. 28 verse 7 through 8. Saul's final act of rebellion involved witchcraft, which the Bible unequivocally condemns. In his desperation, Saul sought the guidance of spirits of the dead. Instead of finding help there, however, they only confirmed his destruction. The world of the occult will never yield to do the will of the Lord at all, so there is no way to recover that. It must be avoided at all costs.
All right, praise the Lord. That was chapter 28 of 1 Samuel, the 25 verses, the translations and the commentary. And now we're going to do the first in the series of dealing with your flesh, yourself. Okay, go ahead.
The matter of dealing with self, part one. This experience is very closely related to dealing with the flesh. This is an important experience in the stage of the cross.
Yeah, in the cross life. But a lot of people don't know how to live spiritually, and these messages are given for people to know what real spiritual life is all about. This is dealing with life. All these messages, it has to do with spiritual life and how to conduct yourself spiritually in the life of Christ. Okay, go ahead.
If we desire to deal with self, we need first to define what self is. There are many spiritual terms which we use quite often.
And most people think they know their self. And they don't know their flesh, and they don't know their self. And so, don't be so smug. By the time that you're done with these we're done with these messages, you'll know that you didn't know yourself, and you didn't know your flesh. So, don't act haughty or high-minded as though you know what's coming up, because it's for sure you don't. Okay, go ahead.
There are many spiritual terms which we use quite often. But when we press forward for the real meaning of it, it is difficult to explain them. So it's going to take some time. So it is with self. We often hear people speak about self. Very few can define it. What really is self? Simply, self is the soul life, with the emphasis on human thoughts and human opinions.
Okay, and soul life is not of the Lord.
We can discover this from the Bible.
Discover what? Read it again.
Okay. Simply, self is the soul life with the emphasis on human thoughts and human opinions. We can discover this from the Bible. The self is clearly mentioned. Let us first read Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 through 25. Quote, "From that time began Jesus to show unto his disciples that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and the third day be raised up. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, bracket, or pity yourself, and bracket, Lord."
Yeah, in other words, just pity yourself. Don't worry about all of humanity. Just pity self. Okay? "Be it far from thee, Lord." Oh, I don't want you to... No, that can't be. And then what?
This shall never be unto thee. But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art a stumbling block unto me, for thou mindest not the things of God, but the things of men, the flesh, and Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Unquote. In this passage, the Lord showed his disciples in verse 21 how he must suffer, be killed, and raise up again. All that the Lord said here is the will of God, because the cross of the Lord is the will of God, ordained in eternity. But in verse 22, Peter had an opinion, and he voiced it to the Lord, quote, Be it far from thee, Lord, unquote. Therefore, the Lord in verse 23 rebuked him, saying that he minded not the things of God, but those of men. In other words, flesh or self. The things of God are the will of God or the cross. The things of men are to pity yourself and receive not the cross. What the Lord desired was the will of God, but what Peter cared about was the human thought. Therefore, in verse 24, the Lord asked the disciples to deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow him.
Yeah, don't pity yourself. Go through the fire. Amen?
Amen.
Because unless the person goes through the fire, you're going to be like dirt. But the Bible says we have to be like gold, amen, and that takes going through the fire. We have to, before we are able to have experience and experience the power of God in us, we have to be put through trials and tribulations to know that truly God is with us. Otherwise, we would have folded up a long time ago, amen? Anytime you see somebody that's on the front line for any length of time, especially 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 years, you know that person's been through the mill, and you oughtn't argue with a person like that when they're telling you what is what, okay, in the spiritual realm, because they've been through the fire. Especially, you know, if they're a soul winner, they've been through the fire, all right? So, you know, anyone that's going to be mouthing off a lot, like Job and his friends in the book of Job, the Bible says, you know, God said that you people are in darkness. You people are talking, and you don't know what you're talking about. Job talked more and gave his opinions and so on, but he says, you, who are you that perverted, you know, the truth, is what he's, God came and told him. Amen? So, self-righteousness, or if you or have your own opinions and ideas, that is self. That's coming from you, not what from the Bible. You have not dealt with your flesh yet or yourself. Okay? And the Bible clearly states that in the book of Job and here with Peter. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead. Peter wasn't even converted then.
When we compare this word with the preceding verse, we comprehend that this self, which the Lord asked us to deny, is the human thought. The Lord asked the disciples to deny and forsake self, which meant to lay aside their own thought.
Right, and if you don't put away your own ideas of how wonderful you are and how great you are, even though the Lord stated that Job was the only righteous man, he still was self-righteous, and so God had to break himself, and so therefore he allowed all the things that Job had to be taken away from him. And then after mouthing so that it would draw all the self out of him while he's talking to his three friends, so that God could show him that all he is a bunch of self. Amen. Then he told him, you know, that then he started rebuking them and says, you see all these things that you said? All these things that you said, Job? And all these things that I brought upon you, I've allowed to be brought upon you. And so Job was broken. Amen? And when he was broken, God blessed him. Okay, then what else? When his self was broken.
When the Lord asked the disciples to receive the cross, this meant that they should receive the mind of God or the will of God. Therefore, the Lord was asking the disciples here to put aside their own thoughts and opinions to receive the cross.
Their own ideas of what should go on. Just do what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
To receive the cross, which is the will of God. From this, we see that self...
If it wasn't the will of God, then why does he say, now deny yourself and take up the cross and follow me? Amen?
Amen.
But the majority of people that call, that are Christians, they never want to take up the cross, and therefore there's no change in them. And that's why you see so many of them that have fallen away from the Lord in these last days. We see the falling away, where Satan has moved into them, because there's so much self, they just will not allow themselves to be broken, themselves. And now they become... But this was the temple of God, and now Satan has sat down in the temple of God, which is us, not me, but the ones that have fallen away, and they now proclaim that Satan is God, because they don't do what God says. And when you don't obey the Lord, well then you're saying that Satan, your flesh, yourself, Satan is God. Right, go ahead.
From this we see that self has much to do with human thought. Yet self is not human thought, and human thought is not self itself. Therefore, in verse 25, the Lord goes on to say that whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for the Lord's sake shall find it. The word life in the original is soul, or soul life. The denying of self mentioned in the preceding verse was followed immediately by the losing of the soul life.
The soul life is your own life, satanic life. We have to walk in the Lord's Spirit. And then what?
This indicates that the self that was mentioned is the soul life spoken of directly following. Soul life is self itself. In this passage, the word of the Lord follows step by step. In verse 22, Peter admonishes the Lord to pity himself. In verse 23, the Lord pointed out that this is human thought or human opinion. In verse 24, the Lord traced this to the root by saying that this opinion is self. Therefore, we need to forsake and deny it. Then, in verse 25, the Lord goes to the root of self by showing us that the very self is the soul life. If the soul life is being put to death, which means that self is being denied, there will be no more human opinion.
Yeah, the Lord said, deny thy self. Amen?
Amen.
S-E-L-F. And take up the cross. He didn't say deny thy flesh. He said deny thyself. Amen?
Amen.
Right? And then what?
In this passage, verse 23 speaks about the opinion. Verse 24, about self, and verse 25, about the soul life. Each verse mentions one matter step by step very clearly. Therefore, we can find here a definition for self. Self, in essence, is the soul life, while the expression of self is opinion, your own opinion. Self, soul life, and opinion are three aspects of one thing. This may be likened to Christ himself as the very God and the expression of Christ as the Holy Spirit. The three are one, God incarnated and expressed in Christ, while the soul life expressed is self. When Christ is expressed before men and touched by men, he is the Holy Spirit. Likewise, self is expressed before men and touched by men in the form of human opinion and human viewpoint. Just as when we touch the Holy Spirit, we touch Christ, so when we touch human opinion and viewpoint, we touch self as well as the soul life.
All right, this is your own ideas, your own opinions. And the world is full of them. You go into almost any church and everybody has their opinion or idea of what is right and what's wrong. And that causes division. Self causes division in the body of Christ. We all have to have one Lord, one Spirit, one mind. That's the mind of Christ, amen. Can't be any opinions yourself. As these messages continue, they will be more enlightening and to you, and you'll understand more. This is just the beginning, and it always works out. We're laying just the groundwork here, how it just keeps growing and weaving into yours, into the reality of what God wants. All right, so just keep these things in your mind, concentrate on them, and keep your mind on the Lord. And until chapter 29 of 1 Samuel, and until the second part of dealing with yourself, this is Tony Alamo saying concentrate, keep your mind stayed upon the Lord, you'll have perfect peace and a sound mind. Study the Word. God bless you, and praise the Lord.